This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Have you ever wondered what it would feel like to have your leg blown off with a cannonball? We'll come back to that. Do you know how we got to a civil war? We all like to simplify things. I've said that before. I'll say it a million times again. We like to simplify things, and civil war is yet another thing we simplify. But surely we all have to understand it wasn't simple, right? How horrible that is to have Americans shooting, stabbing, blowing up, in some cases starving to death, other Americans in mass quantities. I'm pretty sure the grand total for the Civil War was 600-some thousand American dead. We didn't lose that many in World War II. How does a nation get to a point where you're killing each other like that? We simplify it, though. Well, North wanted to free the slaves, South didn't. Yeah. But how many history stories have I stood here and told you that end up blending together? What if I told you Napoleon had a little something to do with the American Civil War? In a way. Let me explain. You see, Napoleon, we've already talked about him. We'll talk about him again, undoubtedly. At some point in time, takes over the Spanish monarchy. Spain, who was Spain ruling right now at this point in time? Well, pretty much freaking everyone. We like to imagine the whole colonial age was Britain and France, but mostly Britain. You know, that's what we know because that was our parent country. Go look at a map of the world of Spain at the height of its power. It's absurd. Let me just break this down for you. Beyond South America, Central and South America, I'm not even counting that right now. At this point, before Napoleon takes over, Spain owned Mexico. Remember the whole Cortez thing. They owns much of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Utah. That's just America alone. They owned around half of the landmass of the United States of America that you know today. That's just us. plus Mexico. Isn't that weird to think about? Because you don't think about Spain that way as some historically, you know, powerful colonial thing, but they were. But Spain had all kinds of problems. And as many of the colonial nations eventually found out, pretty much all of them, it is not easy to rule a people from that far away. Remote rule is very, 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 very difficult. And it's very, very expensive. The Brits basically got it down to an art form at the height of their power, ruling a place from afar. It's not as if nobody else had figured this out. I mean, the Romans were good at it too, but you want to get your governor in there so your guys are in charge, but you don't want to be that in charge. You're not going to try to push people around, so you really want to let the locals rule themselves, only not really rule themselves. Let's go ahead and make sure the locals are, let's make sure their leader's somebody we pick, you know, kind of a thing. I would call it a puppet ruler, and that's probably a fair thing to call it, but, you know, he's not a puppet, but he's not going to do anything we don't like. Now, Spain can't get a hold of Mexico anymore because Spain doesn't have the power. They don't have the money to do it. And Mexico is extremely chafed under the Spanish rule. Spain can't really provide squat. They're still in charge. The Mexicans want Spain out. But here's the deal. Mexico fights its war of independence, similar to ours, kind of, from 1810 to 1821. Mexico decides we're done with Spain. But where Mexico was so much different than ours, it really set them back, and in so many ways still sets them back, was our War of Independence was, it was fought by, I don't want to call it because it sounds like a terrible thing to say, the upper classes, but our War of Independence was fought by and led by highly educated people who had an idea for the Constitution. Like, they had a direction they wanted America to go. It's one of the reasons our revolution was not horrific like basically all the other ones in the history of the world are. We had our leading members in society leading this thing. It wasn't just some street-level guy. It was the leading people, and they had an idea of freedom and limited government, and let's have arguments about the limits on the federal government and the powers of the states. It was well thought out. Mexico's, no, it wasn't. It was an absolute disaster. Now, that's not necessarily their fault, because for the most part, the Spanish really, really ruled Mexico with more of an iron fist. And the people in Mexico, the natives there, and remember, they weren't necessarily Mexican yet. The natives there, they didn't have access to all the best schools and all these other things. It was really a feudal system. So when Mexico, it takes 11 years to finally get rid of Spain. They finally do, with a great deal of help from Napoleon bringing down the monarchy. The Mexicans take over, and chaos, honestly, is putting it really, really kindly. I'm not exaggerating. In about a 20-some year period, they had something like 45 different presidents. They had not a constitution, several constitutions. Well, we're writing one. No, we're writing one. No, we're going to write one. And then, as is often the case, tell me if this sounds familiar, when it rains, it pours, as the saying goes. Their mines, which there was so much money in Mexican mines, their mines get flooded out. So on top of all the absolute chaos, their main economic engine at the time, gone. And now these things tend to, you know, the worse it gets, they tend to pile on top of each other. well, this guy's got a coup and there's no economy and this sucks. Well, he can't make everything better in the first 30 seconds. So now this next general who has an even bigger army outside takeover, and then that general has a general underneath him who actually always wanted the top job. So I'll go ahead and slip a knife between his shoulder blades while he sleeps and then I'll take over. Chaos, like I said, would be putting it very, very, very kindly. But Mexico still had, again, Mexico, much of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Utah. They had this huge territory, but because their government, because their general area in Mexico was in such utter chaos, they had virtually no operational control of the other areas. In fact, with the exception of New Mexico, they didn't even hardly have any people there. There weren't a lot of Mexicans in Texas, in Arizona, in California, in Utah. They couldn't. It wasn't their fault. They didn't have, gosh, you're trying to control Mexico. We'll worry about California when we get things worked out down here. Oh, and if you're Mexico, you have yet another problem. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
You know what will change everything? If you start sleeping. I know that sounds simplistic, but you need to hear me on this. It changes everything. It changes your mood. It changes your ability at work. Might even find yourself with a promotion. It changes how you work at home. The difference between sleeping and not sleeping is drastic, and I know this because I've experienced it. It's time for you to get an ebb sleep. You spend a third of your life in bed. A third. Spend the money and make the most out of that third of your life. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Don't forget to use the promo code Jesse at checkout. Get yourself $25 off ebb sleep. Mexico had another problem, and we shared this problem with Mexico. They were called Comanche Indians. And I know you may know Comanche Indians from John Wayne movies. Comanche Indians were a little brother version of the freaking Mongols, man. The Comanche Indians were beasts, absolute studs. They were, people forget this, or maybe it's just because we don't teach any actual history in American history anymore, or any history of the Indians we do teach is all the poor noble Indian sitting there quietly as the white man wiped him all out. Oh, shut up. They were killing each other by the droves. They were doing all the things we were doing. They got conquered. That's what happens to people. And before they got conquered, specifically the Comanches, they were busy conquering everybody else. They got horses from the Spanish. The Spanish were the ones who introduced horses to the American mainland. The Comanches got their hands on them, and because they were a plains people, I love Comanches, by the way, it's going to come out. I just think they're the coolest thing in the world. Because they were a plains people, they realized what an advantage it is, just like the Mongols did, if you're on these long stretches of open grass, to have horses and to be able to move. And supposedly, I don't know if they were at Mongol level, but supposedly these Comanches were some of the best horsemen who ever lived. Ferocious. Could fire their bows and arrows from underneath the neck of the horse. I mean, I know, that's absurd. I don't even know how you do that. But they could do it. And they rolled into Texas, and they owned Texas. they were the power in Texas. And I don't mean they were the power amongst the American Indians. I mean, they ruled Texas. They ruled a lot of Oklahoma. You know those Apache, another cool tribe, really warlike tribe? There's a reason the Apache were out west, because the Comanche ran the Apache out of here like they were nothing. The Comanche fought and won engagements with the United States Army. Comanche were a nightmare. And they would sign, again, remember, oh, the Indians didn't believe in owning land. Oh, shut up. Yes, they did. And they were constantly signing treaties. The Comanche were at this time. They were an empire. They really were. They were signing treaties with people, with cities, with villages. Now, because they're Comanche and they were absolutely brutal, almost all these treaties were, hey, here's what you're going to do, or we're going to come back here and take all your women and children and probably ravage some of them in front of you. Let's be clear on something. The Comanches were, and again, I'm not passing judgment. I'm a Mongol fan. Now, they killed 40 million people. Okay, I don't judge these old warlike people. I just don't. That was their culture. I read a book, something in the Summer Moon. I need to look that up so I can recommend it to you guys. It's a great Comanche book. But this is going to be a vicious story. It's just a quick side note. They raided, obviously, this family of settlers, killed all the men, took the women and children. One of the women had a baby, a little baby. Again, I'm sorry, ladies. It's just going to take about 30 seconds. I know it's hard to hear, but you need to understand this is what they were like. She had a little baby, and she'd just been kidnapped by the Comanches, and the baby kept crying. The Comanches tied the baby's feet to a rope and dragged him behind their horses through the cactus until it was dead, laughing the whole time. So let's not discount how brutal these people were. And these were the kind of treaties they would sign with the town. Hey, guess what? We're going to come back here and you're going to give us some bullets and blankets a lot, or we're going to destroy you. And they were doing this to the various states of Mexico at this time, terrorizing them. And the Comanches were huge into slavery. They were all about that life, just like the Apaches were. They would go down south into Mexico and kidnap Mexican people and take them up into America and sell them off as slaves. And they'd kidnap Americans and take them down into Mexico and sell them off as slaves. They were big, big slavers. Again, that's a brief side note here. Slavery is a disgusting scourge on the face of the planet. It is the history of the world. The history of the world. Virtually every culture, every nation at one point in time has trafficked in it. Open up your Bible, even the Old Testament, Chris. That's that. And because the Comanches were so powerful, we're talking 100,000 people, all right, at the height of their power. Signing treaties, super powerful, powerful army. Mexico, they really wanted, it's a savvy move, kind of bit them in the rear end. They really wanted a buffer zone between the Comanches and them. You didn't want to, if you're American or Mexican, you didn't want to really share a border with the Comanches. It would really be beneficial if they had to go through some people before they got to us because they were that good. So Mexico, if you can believe this, Mexico encouraged white settlers from America to come settle on Mexican land in what you now know as Texas to create a buffer zone between the Mexicans and the Comanches. Weird, right? Man, did that not work out in the end. Now, what situation do you have if you're one of these settlers? You're an American. You've come out. You kind of live in Mexico. I mean, it officially is Mexico right now. There are some religious tensions between America and Mexico and the settlers in Mexico because Mexico was settled by who? Just talked about it. The Spanish. Spanish were what? Catholic, hardcore Catholic at the time. America was Protestant, founded as Protestant, mostly Protestant. Of course, we had Catholics here, but it was a Protestant nation. And remember, there was super, super anti-Catholic bigotry for much of America's history. And I'm not one of these people criticizing America as a hateful place. It's just how nations go. Again, founded on Protestant, there's always been that Protestant versus Catholic rift, which I never understood, which is weird. I'm a Protestant. Like, it would never occur to me to have an issue with a Catholic person. The only Jew I have an issue with is Chris. It just doesn't, these religious tensions are generally pretty baffling to me, but it is the nature of man. Quick side note on that. That was part of the reason we hated the Irish right about this time, mid-1800s. They had a big potato famine in Ireland. The Irish started pouring in over here, so now you got a bunch of poor people. Undoubtedly, when you get poor people, you're going to get a lot of crime with the poor people that come over. Nobody wants a bunch of brand new poor people here. And the Irish were Catholic. Really, really treated like crap when they got here. But that's a story for another day. So the Mexicans invite these settlers out there, and now you've got a problem. The settlers, yeah, thanks for the land. Appreciate it. This Texas is pretty cool. Love the Tex-Mex. Is someone going to do something about the Comanches? They just kidnapped my cousin and killed his wife. Well, Mexico, remember, they got their own problems right now. Mexico ain't going to help you out with the Comanches, even if they wanted to. There's a new president every 30 seconds. Who's going to help? The only real coherent nation in the area at this time, unless you count the Comanches, is America. And these settlers are American anyway and consider themselves to be American. And so we just kind of settle Texas. And we start fighting off the Comanches. We're not going heavy after them militarily right now, but we're at least providing some protection. Hang on. More security. You do. You need more security at all times in your life. And you need internet security. That's part of it. And we don't like to think about that. Sometimes we tend to just, you know, move right along from that. Oh, I've got door locks and an alarm. I'll be fine. No, you won't be fine. You won't be fine if somebody gets a hold of your information online because your internet service provider, they can see everything you're doing. What if the wrong person who works there gets a hold of your information? Do you have any idea the damage people can do to you with that information now? They can wipe you out financially. They can cost you your job. It's happened. Get ExpressVPN. Go to expressvpn.com/Jesse. That's expressvpn.com/Jesse. So that's the situation in Mexico. Now let's move on to America. At the same time, America is a little bit heated, to put it mildly, over slavery. America is also all about that manifest destiny life. You've heard that phrase before. In case you don't know what it means Americans thought we were ordained by God to rule this entire continent, ocean to ocean. They thought we should rule all of it, and they thought part of that ruling all of it was getting rid of or subjugating the native tribes who were there. Again, I'm not your woke America-hating history professor. That's how people thought at the time. They weren't a bunch of evil racists. They weren't horrible people. That's how people in the world thought at the time. You colonized. That's what you did. And colonizing was, on top of being good for you, in many ways, thought to be the Christian thing to do. We are going to bring them Jesus, and we're going to bring them technology, and they're going to have better lives, even if they don't know it yet, and we're going to have better lives. Was there a ton of selfishness mixed in there? You bet. Of course, let's not be naive to human nature. Were the tribes all doing that to each other? You bet, 100%. Tribes were completely eliminating each other at various points in time, pushing each other out. You get strong, you conquer the weak. We had to move up here because we got pushed out of there. I always love that part about the Black Hills. And the Black Hills, this is way, way off topic, but the Black Hills having this sacred significance. I think it was to the Sioux. I may have that wrong, to the Sioux, you know. It has a sacred historical significance, and that's why we're in the Black Hills and you can't ever come here. You just got there. They just got pushed out like a few generations before by the other Indian tribes. Oh, stop it with that. So much of that stuff. Remember, everybody has their own propaganda machine. Everybody. Everybody does. I mean, you have your own, if you want to consider yourself one of the colonial Americans, of this is what God wants me to do. God has told me to take that over. And that's, you know, your propaganda machine. I'm sure you really believe it, or many people did. Many of the Indians had their own too, with this romanticized version they teach in history class now as if it's fact. Well, they really believed the Black Hills were a sacred place where the Earth Mother, oh, shut up. They liked the elk and there was good shade. Everybody tries with these absurd, honestly, everybody's so absurd with their publicists. I never believe any romanticized version of any people in history. I just don't believe it. The history of the world, remember this, is going to apply today and throughout history, is strong people conquering weaker people. Set aside the religion, the color, the race, the whatever you want to put it. The stronger people conquer the weaker people. Period. It is part of the fallen nature of man to conquer and subjugate other men. And I will tell you, because I realize that's the history of the world, I don't look at it as inherently evil, even though it may be. I don't look at conquerors of the past and say that's an evil person. I just don't. Maybe they were. Maybe it is evil. Maybe Alexander the Great is evil. Maybe Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar killed like 1 million Gauls. That's modern day France. 1 million. That was what you did at the time. We're going to go conquer. Anyway, be that as it may. So America viewed itself as needing to go coast to coast, right? We wanted all that land Spain owned in America. We wanted the land Britain owned in America. Britain still owned, you know, Oregon, that type of stuff. We wanted some of that. And the real issue with the slave states versus the free states was simply this. The slave states were constantly worried that the free states were going to gain too many votes in Congress and abolish slavery. Which, of course, is 100% the case, because many people, I mean half the country, but many people thought slavery was so evil and reprehensible and anti-American that they really wanted the votes to abolish slavery. So what's that old saying? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean nobody's after you. The South was right. And America was constantly coming up with a compromise of, okay, well, we can do this and we can do that. We have the Missouri Compromise and we have all these other things. Okay, well, every state north of here that we acquire will be a free state, and every state south of here we acquire will be a slave state. Always trying to you know, tap dance along there. Which brings us to Texas. Which brings us to the Mexican-American War. James Polk, a Democrat, a slave owner from Tennessee, takes over. He wants Texas. He wants to, I'm not sure the best way to put this, he wants to make sure he's going to get Texas. Now, if you're a James Polk defender, and by the way, you should know more about James Polk than you do. Everyone talks about these about six presidents. James Polk is one of the biggest presidents in American history, just for the things he acquired. We're not going to go over the whole thing today, but we have California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Utah because of James Polk. That's kind of a big deal, right? That's a significant portion of the country. Well, he decides he wants Texas. Huh? And he goes down to Mexico because Mexico is, again, in a constant state of turmoil. Their economy is in absolute shambles. They're a disaster. And James Polk goes down, not himself, obviously, but sends a man down with a gigantic wheelbarrow full of money, or at least authorization to write that check, and say, hey, we love Texas. We think it's really nice country. We would like you to go ahead and sell that to us. Here's a lot of money. No, the Mexicans say no. Well, wait, okay, well, here's a lot more money. Mexicans keep saying no. Oh, well, did we mention we've already moved an army down around where we want? Oh, you see, this offer, it's kind of an offer you can't refuse. What's that old Pablo Escobar saying? Plata o plomo, I believe the saying is. You can have my silver or you can have my lead. I mean, I'm not saying you have to sell us Texas, but man, that is a sweet army we have down here. You see what I mean? Carrots and sticks. Carrots and sticks. And I'm not going to go over the whole thing today because there's way too much to it. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll do like a two-parter on the Mexican-American War. But to wrap this bad boy up, we fought that Mexican-American War. We won that Mexican-American War. And now, well, now it's on. Because now the balance of power, those scales are getting out of whack between the North and the South because we have newly acquired territories. Without winning the Mexican-American War, I don't know that there ever is an American Civil War. It probably gets worked out in other ways. That was maybe what we're seeing now in the country. Do you know what it really was? Hang on, I'll tell you.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's getting scary out there. I'm not trying to frighten you. There's no time to hide underneath your bed. But the truth is this. This is an unpredictable world. And now we have other countries going at each other. And our stock market's high, but unemployment's still high. And people can't quite figure out what's happening. Well, here, let me break it down for you. This is what's happening. Uncertainty. That's what's happening. People aren't sure how to handle all this. And if you have all of your money in the stock market now, man, are you playing with fire. You are playing with fire. Diversify. Buy precious metals from Birch Gold. You need this. Look, don't take my word for it. Get a free 20-page kit, and it shows you how it can protect you. Go to birchgold.com/Jesse. That's birchgold.com/Jesse. When things are tense, It's a very, very, very dangerous time in a country, and this is why. Because what you can't withstand at that time is a shock to the system. You know, it's one of those times where somebody's having marriage troubles. And all of a sudden, the wife loses her job. Man loses his job. It can finish the marriage. It has finished marriages. Now, what if your marriage isn't having trouble? You guys are going strong. Man loses his job. That sucks. Let's weather the storm. We'll move on. When things are tense, when you're at each other's throats, when things are unpredictable, when things are brittle, it is a very, very, very dangerous time because a shock to the system can be world-ending, country-ending. Poor Mexico. Mexico could not withstand a Mexican-American war. They were fighting their own civil wars every other day. They just didn't have any chance. They didn't have any chance against a cohesive nation. America, barely holding together that slave-no-slave relationship. They couldn't withstand a sudden acquisition of a bunch of territory. It was a shock to the system. It was too much. The result of that was a civil war with 600,000 dead Americans. What I have been worried about for a few months now is a shock to the system. I don't know that there's one coming. I hope there's not. But I'm very, very, very worried about it. And I know this is going to seem random because I don't have something concrete to point you to. It was just a thought I had yesterday when I was out. I actually do think sometimes when I'm not here. It was a thought I had yesterday. I mean, I'm looking at the news. North Korea blows up South Korea liaison office. South Korea says North Korea's military has demolished an inter-Korean liaison office building just north of the tense Korean border. South Korea said Tuesday, the building located in the North Korean border town of Kaesong was destroyed at 2:49 p.m. local time. Essentially, it's a gigantic middle finger to the South. This is a place where they meet, where they have discussions, because things are always tense there. North Korea goes down and blows up a building in its own territory as a big FU to the South. What does that mean for us? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe everything. I don't have an answer. Do you know who backs North Korea? I mean, you are aware of the last war we fought over there, right? The reason there is still a North Korea and South Korea is because the North Koreans went storming into South Korea. America came over and said, nah, not going to do that. We started kicking the crap out of the North Koreans. And then old Chairman Mao himself starts tossing all the Chinese commies into the country against us. And finally it ended up as one gigantic stalemate. North Korea exists at the behest of China. Do I think there's going to be some major world war? No, but is that a stretch? Is that a stretch to imagine? Mass economic calamity? What usually follows mass economic calamity, Chris? Anybody? I'm not trying to doomsday you or tell you the world's coming to an end. I'm saying I'm worried about a shock to the system. I'm worried about a shock to the American system. And no, I'm not talking about this little mini race war we've got going here, which is so stupid and absurd. Been so completely hijacked. It's not even about anything anymore. I'm worried about something big. I am. I'm worried about something big at a time where we cannot afford something big. And understand this. We cannot afford something big right now. We can't. We are not joined enough as a nation at this time to afford something big. We just can't. We're not strong enough. Not right now. We have wealthy, powerful people in our society. We have them giving apology videos for wearing a t-shirt. I'm not making this up. Let me set this up for you briefly. Mike Gundy is the coach of the Oklahoma State football team. Good football team. Not winning national titles, but very good team. Top 10, top 15 team every year. Very good team. OAN is one of these new conservative networks that popped up. It's not my network, but I like it. I know I have friends that work at OAN. It's a good network. Hang on.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.